Join me in 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. First Timothy chapter 3 here, the inerrant, inspired word of our Lord given to Paul through the Holy Spirit. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-talked, too much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of His Word. Paul is writing Timothy a letter because he has left Timothy behind, we believe, in Ephesus, to continue the building of the church and raise up officers to work alongside Timothy in the conduct of church. So what should that person look like? What should the character of that person be? Well, here, quite bluntly, and I would think also exhaustively, Paul cites that to Timothy. It's quite a list. We who hold the office of overseer, which extends both to the pastorate and the ruling elder, look at this and usually wring our hands. I saw several elders just then, their eyes raised like, amen. And it is only through God's grace, but only through the power of the Spirit, that we think we could even attain any aspect of this. And please understand, Paul is not teaching perfection, but he's teaching an ambition, a desire of the heart. Men and women who hold these offices, is this your desire? Now, there's certain black and white kinds of things in here that I'm not going to spend time right now going into. But it's a staggering list. And every one of us who hold the office of pastorate and ruling elder, we look at this list and go, Lord, how and why am I here? But yet through the Spirit, we have that ambition to be what we can and be, do in ruling and governing the church. Deacons. Notice it says deacons likewise. Okay, the list given above is likewise given to the deacons as we move into this in their particular capacity. Please also note it looks to the wives. Now, I know in this church we have females as well as males who are on the diaconate, which I think that's incredibly biblical. So instead of saying wives, look at the word spouse. And spouses, please understand how you affect the ministry of your spouse. Judy and I were talking this week about the remembrances we have of individuals in the ministry where the wife was the downfall of the ministry. Be careful. Be careful. Now, instead of going through this entire list piece by piece, which I could do for weeks on end, I want to go back to verse 1 that I read and underscore a simple phrase with a massive meaning. massive implication. Look with me at verse 1. Paul says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires, some have the translation, sets their heart toward. If they stretch out and reach for, if they aspire, the office of overseer, pastor, elder, as I said, deacon likewise fits into this category. He desires a noble task. Noble task, that is the phrase I want to spend just a minute on. Sadly, there are those who look at that and go, since I'm an overseer, I'm a pastor, I have that noble position. It's a place of honor. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to give Eddie a place of honor. But this is not a pompous, arrogant position. It is the office, not Eddie, that we ask to give honor to. But some men wrongly use that. So what does it mean that we are setting our hearts toward a noble task? Are we noble individuals because we've been given that call to be a pastor, to be an elder, to be a deacon? That makes me noble. No, it is a place of honor. It is a place of responsibility. It is a place of great burden. But the nobility is not in the person. This nobility modifies the word task. What is the task? And for whom are we performing the task? That's where it gets its nobility. John Calvin, great reformer of the 16th century, writes this. He said, Paul states first that it's not an indolent rank, meaning it's a rank that is not to be taken by one who is lazy. It is not a place to be taken by one who is sluggish or cumbersome. It is a task to be taken by one who is aspiring, who is setting their heart toward it, not only to have it, but to do it. Calvin goes on, he says, but it is a work. And next, that it is not just any kind of work, but it is a toilsome work. And it is a work full of dignity. Excuse me, difficulty. I already did the dignity part. Difficulty. Men who hold the office of elder, amen? Difficulty. I'm sitting on a commission right now where charges have brought against the pastor. And I'm hearing evidence whether they're true or not. Calvin goes on. And this is the part I want to set my feet on. It is no light matter to be a representative of the Son of God. As a pastor, I am a representative of the Son of God. As an elder, you're a representative of the Son of God. As a deacon, you're a representative. In discharging an office of such magnitude, the object of which is to erect and extend the kingdom of God, to procure the salvation of souls which the Lord himself hath purchased with his own blood, and to govern the church which is God's inheritance. The nobility of the task of which an elder, a deacon is given, is that we are eldering, we are deaconing over God's inheritance. God's people. God's belonging of which he sent his son to die for. Join me in Matthew chapter 28. Excuse me, 25. Matthew 25. I've used this passage often to try to reflect what we have been given. Verse 14. 25:14. You know it as the parable of the talents. For it will be like, now Matthew is speaking of the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and trusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So he also had the 2 talents, made 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Quick translation of the parable. The master is Jesus Christ. As we know, he has left this earth. He is now in heaven. And he has entrusted to his servants his property. One day, just as this parable goes on to say, the master is going to return. And he's going to ask me, what did you do with the property I entrusted to you? Did you earn five more? Remember, we are given in accordance with our ability. We all are not given the same talent. We're not all given the same ability. We're not all given the same ministry, but we're all given. And in proportion to that which is given, what are you doing with it? See, this parable of the talents to me is the church and the leadership of the church. And the master is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has ascended into heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he has looked at me and says, Tim, I have given you new sterling. What have you done with it? Scares me to death. The men who take the office of elder, every one of you he's called out personally by name. I've given you the rule of New Sterling. What have you done with it? Present tense, what are you doing with it? Deacons, those who have the office of deacon, your call is specific, is particular, but it's necessary. Just like the parable of the talents, what have you done with it? What are you doing with it? To be an officer of the church is the greatest, greatest, greatest thing that a person can obtain, can have from the Lord Jesus as it relates to overlooking and overseeing his church. And as I stated, scares me to death. Y'all know me as well as I do, many ways and many ways not. My failures, my falterings, the men we have sitting on the session, I love them dearly. After my meeting, hearing the evidence of this other church, I told the gentleman sitting beside me, I'm going to kiss every one of my session members. So y'all line up. But we're not perfect. Hush, Eddie. We're not perfect. But yet it is our heart, I pray, our heart, that we lead, understanding the noble task given us. I now have the incredible privilege of ordaining a man to this position. Eddie, come join me. Did I heap that weight on your shoulders high enough, brother? Come right on over here. Turn and face these people. Ordination, ordain, meaning you set in approval and give authority to do. It's like handing over the keys to the church. It's all right, buddy, this one's yours. In apostolic times, there were elders to whom was entrusted the oversight and leadership of the Christian church. And it was the Apostle Paul who advised, they that rule well should be counted worthy of double honor. Therefore, the church has from the beginning included in its government not only pastors, but who are to preach the gospel and minister sacraments, but he has given also ruling elders chosen by the people to represent them and to be joined with the pastor in the exercise of the government and discipline of the church. These ruling elders, together with the pastor, constitute the session of the church, and it is within the authority of this board to admit and to exclude members, to supervise the worship that we are doing here, provide for the teaching, and to direct all activities of the church, and to oversee all of the spiritual well-being within the church. The elders are also to represent the local congregation in Presbyterian Synod meetings as they are commissioned to do. And it is the duty of the elder to set an example of godly conduct and character and to assist the pastor in the ministry to the people. The congregation of this church, having elected Eddie Compton to this office of ruling elder, and with Eddie's giving his consent to serve, we now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, proceed with this ordination. I'd like to ask the members of the session if they would come down and circle around and kind of behind Eddie. And Eddie, you may need to take about two steps out. Save you a trip in a few minutes. Eddie, I have questions for you. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and acknowledge Him head over all things in this church, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you? Do you reaffirm your belief in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as the written Word of the living God, the only perfect rule of faith and practice, to which nothing is to be added and from which nothing is to be taken at any time or upon any pretext? Do you agree with this?
I do.
Do you accept the doctrines of this church as contained in the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechism as founded on the Word of God, and as the expression of your own faith, and do you resolve to adhere to these doctrines? Do you? Do you accept the government, discipline, and worship of the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church? Now, to you, the congregation, the members of New Sterling, I have a question for you. Do you acknowledge and receive this fellow member as a ruling elder? And do you promise to give him all the honor, obedience, and encouragement and assistance in the spirit of love, to which this office, according to the word and the constitutions of this church, entitle him? If you would do that, please stand. Eddie, these people elected you, and here they are giving you sign that they'll follow you. Please be seated. Eddie, if you would, please take a knee, brother. And if y'all would, move forward as you can get around him. Put a hand on the shoulder in front of you. This laying on of hands is a transference of the power and authority. Paul, when he would bring Timothy in to lead the church, lay his hand upon him in that symbolic moving of authority or sharing of authority. And that's what these men are doing. Let us pray together. Eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of your infinite mercy did call yourself a church, which is ruled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the service of men for preaching and administering the sacraments, do also use men to guide the flock, to provide for their well-being. And so we commend to you this man we now ordain to the office of ruling elder. Father, I pray that you would set apart this gentleman to the work for which he has been called. Bless him greatly with heavenly wisdom. Grant him your grace that he may be of good and right mind. Fill him with the Holy Spirit and with faith so that he might rule with the body, with the holy fear of the righteous and just God. Give him favor and influence with the people that he gains from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him faithful unto death. And when the chief shepherd comes, may he receive a crown of glory. And hear those wonderful words, well done, good servant. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do say, pray, amen and amen. Stand up, brother. God bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I now declare you duly ordained and set apart to the office of elder. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be faithful to this office, which is an office for life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with all you this day and forever and evermore. Eddie, we give you the right hand of fellowship and ask you to come and join with us in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in this ministry here at New Sterling. God bless you, brother. Shake his hand. Don't leave. Don't leave. I got more work for the elders. Now, if y'all would, just kind of make a single line and spread out across there, or you can sit or whatever you want to do, but I need Mr. Larry Walker, if he will find his way down here. Brian Pope has also been elected to the office of deacon. Brian could not be with us this morning, so we will do him in a couple of weeks. In the Christian church of apostolic times, there were deacons whose office was held in honor and who were rightly and highly esteemed for their service to the church in the company of the elders. From early days, it was a peculiar part of the duties of these individuals to be a vital part of the church ministry, and it was a ministry of compassion and mercy, which is extended to the people. This church has recognized the office and work of the deacon as in accordance with the teachings of the apostles. In the course of time, new forms of work have been given to the deacon, and it has grown in value to the church, all the while maintaining its ancient character to follow Christ's example of compassion and love and mercy to the people. Mr. Larry Walker, having been chosen by you of this congregation, has given his willingness and his consent to serve in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for as much as you have consented, Larry, we do now ask you some questions and move into the ordination process. Questions for you, Larry. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord and acknowledge Him head over all things for the church, which is the body? Do you? Do you reaffirm your belief in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament as the Word of the living God, the only perfect rule of faith and practice to which nothing is to be added and from which nothing is to be taken upon any time and upon any pretext? Do you believe that? Do you accept the doctrines of the church contained in the Westminster Confession of Faith, Catechism, as founded on the Word of God and as the expression of your own faith, and do you resolve to adhere to this doctrine? Do you? Do you accept the government and discipline and worship of this church, the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church? Do you? And once again, to you, the congregation, do you acknowledge and receive this fellow member as a deacon? And do you promise to give him the honor, obedience, encouragement, and insistence in the spirit of love to which their office, according to the Word of God and the constitutions of this church, entitles him? If you would do that, would you stand once again? Larry, I say to you as I did Eddie, these folks have elected you, and now they're acknowledging you as a deacon, and their desire and willingness to follow you as long as you lead in accordance with the Holy Scriptures. Please be seated. I'll ask you to kneel, Larry. Those of you would please just come and circle around and lay hands upon this gentleman. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not come to be ministered to, but to minister to those in need, who for our sake became poor, that we through your poverty might become rich, who did love the church and give yourself to the cross for it, set apart and consecrate this man to the office of deacon. Give him your own spirit of compassion for the human needs of your people. Inspire him with devotion to the church. Guide and sustain him in all of his service until his work on earth is done, and place upon him the great reward of your heavenly kingdom. In Jesus' name I do pray, amen and amen. Larry, stand, brother. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the authority committed to me in this church, I hereby declare you duly set apart to the office of deacon. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be faithful to this office, which is an office of life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all of your days. We also offer to you the right hand of fellowship, and we ask you to come and join with us in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in this church. God bless you. Please take his hand, gentlemen. Now, all of you who are on the session, as you shake his hand, can be seated, but I need Steve and Jeff to remain. And I'd like to ask Barbara McClure and Miss Hannah Moore if they would join these gentlemen down here. You stay down here. I just ordained you. Now I got to install you. Eddie, where'd you go, Eddie? Dude. Thank you. I lost him. Steve, Jeff, Hannah, and Barbara being ordained previously. We'll not go through that again, but simply the questions of installation. So I ask you each these questions. Do you accept the office of ruling elder and deacon in this congregation? And do you promise to perform faithfully all the duties of this office? And do you promise to endeavor by the grace of God to live your life in the Christian witness before this church and before the world? Will you do that? Do you promise to submit in the spirit of love to the authority of the session and to the higher courts of this church? Do you do that? Do you promise in all things to promote the unity, the peace, the purity, and prosperity of this church? Do you? And to the congregation, once again, I ask you, the members of New Sterling, to acknowledge and receive these fellow members as ruling elders and deacons. And do you promise to give them all the honor, obedience, and encouragement in the assistance of the Spirit of love to which this office, according to the Word of God, entitles them? If you would do that, just simply please say amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the head of the church, I do now declare you to be installed, inducted into the office of ruling elder and of deacon in this congregation. And I pray the blessing of the Lord God Almighty would be on us all. The text that I've just read and the few words weigh heavy on all our shoulders. But with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit, we will do what we can. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that you would be with us all who hold these offices and give us your strength and courage now and forevermore. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.